The scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. A paraphrase entitled "The Message, Slightly Revised for Gender Inclusivity." Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous parent in heaven. Don't suppose for a minute that I have come to demolish the scriptures, either God's law or the prophets. I'm not here to demolish, but to complete. I am going to put it all together, pull it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet. Long after stars burn out and earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working. Trivialize even the smallest item in God's law, and you will only have trivialized yourself. But take it seriously. Show the way for others, and you will find honor in the kingdom. Unless you do far better than the Pharisees in the matters of right living, you won't know the first thing about entering the kingdom. Here ends today's scripture.
Pray with me, please. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for joining us here today. We ask that your presence might be particularly known to us in the interpretation of your word today, in the hearing of your word. May there be a message that we need to hear this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was mulling over the text this week, I couldn't help but think that it was strange, or at least interesting, timing to be extolling the virtues of salt and light in the world. Just this past week, we heard how federal dietary guidelines now urge Americans to drastically reduce sodium intake. Just a teaspoon a day or less for most of us, and even less for people over 50 or those who have hypertension, diabetes, or a chronic kidney disease. Well, and then there's the salt at our feet. Especially with the weather of late, I'm thankful for how easy it makes it to get around on our roads and sidewalks. But not so happy when I get home and discover its residue on my car, my boots, sometimes even my coat. And light, well, in a season where the sun is still rising after kids have boarded their school buses and sets before we finished our late afternoon grocery shopping, when snowy days prevail and skies are gray, there just isn't a whole lot of light to be had. Take today, for example. But you know, the very absence can go a long way toward highlighting presence. Lately, I have been absolutely transfixed by the diamonds I see shimmering in the morning snow. On the sunny mornings, that is. It's like living in a sparkly Christmas card. You know, the glittery kind I used to love when I was a kid. Each of those sunny days or hours or minutes is a gem too, a diamond in the rough of wet, gray midwinter days. When living in Colorado a state that prides itself on the fact that it has more sunny days than either California or Florida. I've lost some appreciation for these things, shall we say. It was a little too easy to take the sun for granted. Constantly grasping for water bottles or tubes of sunscreen, guarding against dehydration and skin cancer, I don't remember noticing much shimmering snow there. I really don't. And on the salt front, well, Colorado didn't use that stuff on their roads, rendering them especially treacherous with all the melting and freezing that goes on with all that sunlight. What I wouldn't have done for a little snow on the morning 4 years ago when I was rear-ended on an icy state highway. Salt, to say the least, it can be very useful. Salt has been used since at least 6,000 BC. It was so important that sometimes it was actually used as a medium of exchange. And in fact, that is where our word salary originated. In Jesus' time, salt was the only seasoning that was used on food. It was and is a food preservative, a leavening agent for bread, and an antiseptic for wounds. But it was also used in some more diverse and perhaps even surprising ways. Mixed with animal dung, it helped light and sustain fires for heat, light, and cooking. Rubbed on newborn baby skin, it guarded against illness. Sprinkled ritualistically on animal sacrifices and to seal contracts and covenants, it signified loyalty and wisdom. These are no small things, but they are also very basic things, just like salt itself. Interesting thing about the metaphors Jesus chose to use, by themselves they are barely noticeable, let alone purposeful, but combined with other things, they are forceful catalysts, adding zest to our food and our lives, growing plants, lighting up otherwise dark spaces. But as catalysts, they point away from themselves and toward the things they magnify. Alone with the sun and nothing to see, we might well lose our minds, or at least our sight. Left alone with only salt to eat, we would quickly die of hunger and dehydration. Now bear in mind, in the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount occurs shortly after Jesus has called his first disciples and just after he has preached the Beatitudes, uplifting the lowly and warning about the persecution that would come to his followers. Remember that they may well have signed on with Jesus, thinking that they are going to become acclaimed fulfillers of messianic prophecy and participate in a political revolution against the Roman Empire. And now Jesus is giving them their actual job description. Might they be feeling a little blindsided at this point? Well, perhaps, but not exactly. For one thing, what Jesus is describing here is consistent with the role they already understood themselves to play as devout Jews. For back in the book of Isaiah, God had commissioned Israel both to be a light to the nations and a suffering servant. They were well acquainted with images of light, humility, and indeed persecution. And neither they nor Jesus thought they were in the process of creating a new religion, just expanding and fulfilling the one they'd been born into. The second thing is less clear in the translation of the text that I had Penny read today. The Message paraphrase that was written is written in a modern narrative style to be colorful and easily heard and understood when read aloud. Like salt, this translation helps to keep things fresh and zesty, to bring out qualities of the text that might otherwise be obscured by less expansive wording. But as a paraphrase, it isn't an exact translation. And so when Eugene Peterson says in the Message, "You're to be salt and you're to be light," we need to take that with a grain of salt. The more precise translation is the one we're more familiar with. You are salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. not just something to aspire to, it's already the reality. In their book, The Five Gospels, the biblical scholars who comprise the Jesus Seminar ruled that the historical Jesus probably didn't actually assign these metaphors to his followers, because as a rule, he rejected insider-outsider discriminations of this sort. He included outsiders, such as sinners and toll collectors, along with other undesirables, among his companions. Now, I don't claim to possess their academic credentials, but just suppose for a minute that the designations of salt and light were extended to all faithful people. Just suppose we all come into the world as grains of salt and rays of light, that is our natural state of being, that to be fully human is to be salt and light for and of the world. But that as we experience, but that as we experience pain and shame, illness, trauma, addiction, or just plain old social conditioning, we back away from those roles, that we embrace them less fully, that we allow bushels and salt substitutes to obscure our true God-given identities. In fact, most of the commentators I read this week argued that as an inert substance, it is simply not possible for salt to lose its flavor, only to dilute it in water. A couple claim that because Jesus' salt would have come from boiled down dead sea water, it contained impurities that could, in effect, reduce its saltiness. But still, salt can simply not stop being salt, or salty altogether. You may be familiar with this quote from American spiritual teacher Mary Ann Williamson, which Nelson Mandela borrowed for his 1994 inaugural speech. It goes like this: "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us most. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and famous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in all of us. And when we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." I wonder if this is not part of what's happening in the Middle East today, as the people of one country after another raise their voices in nonviolent protests and risk their lives in the name of freedom from poverty and political oppression. Some Egyptian demonstrators have even named that they were directly inspired by the words and deeds of our own nonviolent civil rights activist, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Light shining in the darkness is indeed inspiring and even contagious. So what about us, First Congregational Church? We are indeed quite literally a faith community on a hill. We haven't lit our towers in a while, but we have and we are sharing divine inner light and zest in our deeds and in our presence, serving the Lakota people of Pine Ridge and spreading word of their great need, offering hospitality to gay and questioning high school students and their allies, raising money to build schools for impoverished youngsters in Pakistan, and a restaurant to employ disabled people in Cadillac, providing boots, prescriptions, and transportation to the disadvantaged of Wexford and Osceola counties, to name just a few. If we have any doubt that God is moving in our church and in our city, These are solid, indisputable proofs to the contrary. But what about the less visible ways God is acting? Ways we may not fully recognize, even as God is actively harnessing our energy and flavor as light and salt, individually and in community. Perhaps acting quietly, but no less valuably or meaningfully. Sometimes awareness, mindfulness, is at least half the battle. And so I would like to close by giving you a homework assignment. You ready? Here it is. I challenge each of us, myself included, to start keeping a daily salt and light log, where we record the places in our personal lives and in this church's life where we see our own words and actions illuminating and magnifying God's presence in the world. God's love, compassion, and mercy, God's justice, God's passion for the poor, the suffering, and the forgotten, God's redemption, shining through our unique stained glass windows, each of ours, bringing out the God flavor. And if you feel comfortable doing so, I would encourage you to send your lists or highlights of your lists to me from time to time. If I have your permission, we'll share those lists with one another and the people who seek us out on our church website through a blog that we'll post there. I think that we will be pleasantly surprised once we get started. Our output may be small at first, but once our salt and light lenses are fully engaged, it may be hard not to see the subtle hand of God working everywhere we look. So let's get cooking and shining and logging, shall we? Amen.